Hi, everyone. This is Gary joining you this time with John. Last time you had John and Sam and Barry, and it's good to be back with you. So a real quick one. So last week, Lee and I were both supposed to go to Seattle to spend almost a week with my son out there. He's kind of said he'd love for us to come out, and he's going to the Allender School. Actually, it's called the Seattle School of Theology and Psychology. And they have a study week, is what they call it. So no classes, but they have plenty to study. So we were going to both go out there and see him, and Lee got really sick. I got sick first and brought it into the house, and my daughter, my son-in-law, all the kids got it. Lee eventually got it and got real sick where she could not get on an airplane. She couldn't leave the house. So I went out to be with Nick from Tuesday until Saturday, and it was a phenomenal time that I'd like to talk more about. Anyway, so I did that and just got back and then got sick again. So, and that's the weird thing about it. I was telling John about this flu is all of us went in once and about a week later went back into it again. It's just a weird thing. So anyway, it's good to be back with you. And Sam is not with us tonight because he emailed John and I on Monday afternoon to tell us that Carla, his wife's mother, passed away on Thursday. So he's in the middle of all that. So John and I are with you tonight, and we wanted to talk about this idea of curiosity and the essential role it plays in our discovering and deepening and walking further into our calling. And so with that, John, thank you for allowing me to do a campfire conversation with you, to host with you.
Yeah, this was fun.
Okay, hope so. So let me start with a story of my own on this that it just elevated the value and the importance of curiosity in walking out our calling. So before December, a friend of mine had emailed me and said that he and his wife had inherited some money and they wanted to give to a few ministries fairly significantly, but they were only going to give to something that they felt would be a tipping point in that ministry. It would enlarge its capacity, not simply enlarge its activity, but its actual capacity to become more and do more and be more in the future. And so as we talked, he kind of took me by surprise. Great question. And as we talked and suggested a few things, he said, no, I don't think that's a capacity builder. I don't think that's a tipping point for the ministry. And it was a great conversation. So we talked over the phone a couple times. Then he came out to Colorado because his daughter lives in Colorado somewhere. And we spent a day and a half together. And then John and Sam and I got on the phone with our friend. Our friend's name is Peter Boyle. And what struck me was he's read a number of books that he absolutely loves. And it informs his conversations. It really is his curiosity, his passion. And so a couple of these books, two of them are by Malcolm Gladwell. One is Tipping Point. The other one is Outliers, talking about why there are certain people that are outliers on what's going on, but they change everything, what makes them change artists. And then another book he's read recently that he just sent to me by Simon Sinek called Start With Why. And it's fascinating because they're all books that deal with the core essentials of a thing. And he loves these books. He devours them. He can repeat them back, all these quotes from his books, because he so loves it. And it dawned on me as we were talking about the Noble Heart, and he was bringing what he had learned through his greatest curiosities over the years to the Noble Heart, which is enormously helpful. And we really haven't gotten to what the tipping point is yet, but we're getting there. I was struck by his love for these books and the themes that they have. Different authors, but he has this insatiable curiosity, fascination with what makes something change, what makes something grow, become powerful, very of high potential. And so as we've been talking, as he's been talking to us, we've been talking to him about what we're seeing about his effect in life, his calling. And as obvious it is, has been to John and myself and Sam, it's not that obvious to him, which seems funny, except when we think about our own lives, it's always the same. We're not as aware of our own curiosities sometimes, and yet they play such an essential role in our calling and discovering who we are and living that out. So there was a current story that brought this to mind. Now, John, any reaction to that right off as we start into this?
Well, I think it's such a good picture of the whole point of the topic, curiosity, because it really is a major clue into what lies beneath the surface at the level of our heart, the things that we really care about and the things that drive us and compel us. I was thinking about the Apostle Paul, if he were here today, the books that he would be reading, and I think they would be all about getting the gospel message out. You know, how is it being done today, and what methods have people come up with in this century? Because that was just what he was so compelled to do. He wanted people to hear the gospel. And I've had roommates over the years who I've been struck by their curiosity. It was towards things that I didn't care anything about, and yet it just drove them. And I realized there's something with that marks them out, that distinguishes them. At the time, I was too young in the faith to really even understand that. I just realized, well, that's probably part of their gifting, or I knew it was probably part of their calling, but I didn't really understand calling. But I knew there was something unique to them that was being revealed just in the nature of what they were so curious about. So I think it's a great picture of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. You know, and another couple people I was thinking of when I was thinking about the subject was, so not only this guy, Peter Boyle, his friend of ours, but Dan Ainsworth. And he's on the phone with us now. I love that he is such a curious man. And he blogs about what he's curious about. Right.
Yeah.
It could be you know, a row of flowers that his father planted along the road. It could be, you know, why a fish isn't biting a certain, you know, lure or whatever. And this is, he's curious, and then he writes about it. Another example I thought about, you know, several people have emailed me back about ideas that might help as we redesign the website, and they've been great things. The one that hit me, as far as this probably means a lot about who this man is, as far as his calling, is Mark Wagner. I mean, John, you know, you and I were talking about this. He wrote pages, and you could tell he had been thinking about this. He's been investigating it. He's been exploring it. You could tell it's something he loves doing. It's a curiosity of his of how do I solve a problem? How can I help you solve a problem? How can we add more color to this? And it's just so much of who he is. And you could tell that he was speaking out of his curiosity, not just his experience. So I just think it's such an important thing to realize our curiosity and to pursue it.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to go ahead and finish that, but I have a question for you when you're
finished. Well, okay, let me finish this thought. And yet, I think sometimes we can be fairly oblivious to our curiosities unless someone else points it out. I think, you know, it's like everything we talk about, that when it's so us, we've lived with it for so long, it doesn't seem to be much anymore. It doesn't seem to be extraordinary, important. It doesn't show itself as outstanding. Until someone else says, boy, you really love books about this, or this is what you perk up about. This is, you know, so I think even as we talk about, you know, being aware of our own curiosity, we really need other people to help us become aware of our own curiosities. Okay.
So you've talked so much about how you have spent 25 or more years just curious, studying, researching, developing all about calling. When was it, though, that you first began to realize that was that your curiosity was focused on that?
Yeah, you know, probably my earliest memories of something stirring I was becoming aware of was, you know, I took a freshman psychology class, like we all do in college, and just a required class, and I was so taken by that class, the understanding of kind of why people do what they do, you know, which is around how the mind works and that kind of thing. And that was a beginning of just being curious about that and realizing, I think I'm really interested in the subject. Now, I didn't become a psychology major. I became a business major because that's what my dad wanted me to do. And he said, that's how you make a living, is in business. So it's fascinating because then I took a, you know, in my probably junior or senior year, I took a several marketing classes. And those are just business psychology classes, all those are.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed those. Those were really fun, though I suck at marketing. but I was fascinated by the subject. And then just one more early on story. So after I graduated from college, I went on staff with Athletes in Action, and my first year was in Wheaton, Illinois, and at the gymnastics team had an office there. So I was kind of delving into a lot of the strategic elements of Athletes in Action gymnastics. I mean, nothing big. I was brand new to this. But I remember distinctly, I mean, because I think it touched a true desire of my heart. I remember the director said to me one time, I walked out of my office, and I think I was given a report of a few things I was working on or thought we needed to do. I don't know what it was offhand. But I remember he said to me, he said, Gary, you really have a grasp of what this ministry is about and how to make it happen and how to not get distracted in our pursuit of that. Something to that effect. And I remember that really struck me and stuck with me of, oh, those are like words I've wanted to hear. Something about purpose and how to get there. So those would be kind of my earliest experiences of curiosity and a sense of satisfaction of, oh, that's, I am into that. So how about you?
Well, you know, it's funny. I have always been very curious about anything that helped people live the Christian life. I've always been curious, you know, what were the stumbling blocks? What were the things that helped move people forward? I've never been one to get into theological debate. I've never been one to get into organizational, administrative things. But when it came to teaching or exercises or workshops or anything that had to do with growing in your relationship with Christ, that just always captured me. And it wasn't till probably maybe 15 years ago, I was having lunch with a friend, and he just made the comment in passing, John, you have a shepherd. I see in you a shepherd's heart. And that was the first time I realized that that was unique to me, that it wasn't something that everybody pursued and valued or whatever. It was something unique to me. And it was like yours. It was just kind of an awakening. That's me. And it was so true. I mean, the minute he said that, I immediately responded, that's exactly me. I deeply care about these people, and I want to see them grow, and I want to see them walk with Christ more intimately. And that was probably the first time it ever hit me that was who I was, what my calling was.
Right. And I mean, I remember you telling a story to me earlier, and I thought, this is, as you describe the experiences you've had since then, it really is shepherding. Even though it's one of those words that can have its own,
yeah,
you know, cultural baggage to it, religious baggage, but you really do love to shepherd a person, to walk alongside, you know, kind of see how the condition of his or her heart is. How can you lead them to greener pastures? You know, these kind of things. I think that's very true. And so here, one of my thoughts is this. I mean, I don't think this is a new idea or subject to any of us right now in Base Camp in the Cedar Garden, because we talk about this. But I think what's hit me is I can start to lose my curiosity. You know, whether that's just, I'm just tired right now. I don't feel like reading. I don't feel like pursuing anything. I can just, you know, think, you know, there isn't enough time to pursue anything anymore. What I've got is what I've got, and that's kind of it, instead of saying, no, I want to go deeper. I want to learn more. I want to explore. I want to be taught in this area more. Or the other thing that can happen, besides just maybe just being too tired to pursue curiosity or feeling like there's no time, and the other one is just devaluing it. I just think it's really easy to say, you know, I don't think that's that important to spend my life on right now. And let me just put a thought with that and then get your reaction. You know what I find is that sometimes what we're curious about isn't necessarily the core of our calling, but it may lead us to that next clue. You know, I've had people talk, curious about, you know, whatever, various things. And they may just go, you know, when it comes to kingdom things, that's not that important. And one, I think their evaluation is off. But number two is, it could be that if they follow that, that doesn't mean that's their field of expertise. It may mean, as they follow that and they simply are curious and enjoy it, that they do find what the core thing is. So I think following curiosity is essential, you know, all the time. And we have to be careful we don't devalue it and therefore not pursue it.
You know, and I mentioned this once before, but I think it was 2 years ago we were talking about transcendent pursuit, and you made the comment that you had become very curious and interested in media or video editing, and it had just captured you, and so you really felt like that was something you needed to pursue, and I felt like that, you know, it can certainly have a kingdom purpose, obviously. But I've wondered since then, and I think I've even asked you since then, have you discovered anything in that pursuit? Has it opened your eyes to anything new that kind of caught you by surprise?
You know, that's a really curious, well, curious, of course, from a curiosity, you know, thing in that I still don't kind of know what to do with it exactly. It's place in my life. I mean, like I said, I enjoy it. I enjoy reading articles about videography, watching YouTube things about videography and technique. So there is something about, you know, capturing a person, a story, a setting in their life, and bringing that out to others in a way that it's concise, it's to the point, it's powerful. Now, I'm not saying I'm good at doing that, but I have this desire to be able to do that. Now, if somebody said, hey, I will invest, you know, $100,000 in you developing a interview video company, I don't know that I would say yes to that, because I think that's a little bit beyond my passion level. But there is something in there that I can't walk away from. I mean, I thought about, gosh, if we had a good amount of money, I'd love to hire somebody professionally to do some of these. And I'm thinking, but I don't want to give it up, actually. I kind of like doing it. You know, I don't want to pay someone to do something that I would really like to do. Now, that's my own issues I have to solve with the ministry. But there is just something there is a continual curiosity about that with me.
Well, even as you were describing that, it sounded like you. It sounded like you to say, I love capturing aspect of someone's life and bringing that to the forefront. That's what you do in the calling retreats and in all
well,
the exercises.
Well, that's true. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I do love doing that. And there's, yeah. And you know what? I've even enjoyed, you know, in the past I used to get the feedback sessions and I would also edit those. Not edit out comments, but just make it tighter and cleaner.
Yeah.
And then I soon realized I can't do this for 30, you know, it used to be one time, 60 people at a time. I mean, so I couldn't do that, but it was just this love to go in and hear the story and how do we make it even more powerful the way it is. And so anyway, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
So how about for you? What has there been, and everyone, if you're listening, I'd love for you to comment. Is there something that you've been curious about? And maybe you still are, but don't know exactly why, what's at the end of that. Or maybe you have discovered that, but we'd love to start seeing some of your comments. So in the meantime, John, how about you? What is there something that you've been curious about for years? You still are. It's a fascinating curiosity. And either you really do have a sense that this is what you're about, or you're not sure where it's leading yet and what the bottom line may be on that.
Well, yes. In fact, I had something pretty spectacular happen a week or two ago. And it gets back to this whole thing that has captured me this year about music. Because I'm entering an arena of music that I have never been in before, and that is the arena of practicing. I've gone all these years, I've never, ever practiced. I just play and, you know, play and go on just for the fun of it. But I've picked a song that I started out, I knew I could not play that song. And I've been working for months now, and I'm getting closer and closer to being able to play it. The other night, I have learned the song at a certain speed that's pretty slow. And so I thought, well, I'm going to turn the song on at its normal speed and just see how I do. And right before I started, I said to myself, and this just came out of the blue, I said, you have permission to make mistakes. Just enjoy yourself. And when I said that, it hit me, that's what grace is. We have permission to go through this life and make mistakes. They're already taken care of. Don't get captured by the mistakes. Don't let them sideline you. Keep moving forward with what you really love. And it was just such a quick picture of the whole thing about grace and how we get so captured with our mistakes and we fail to enjoy the song.
Yeah.
And so I
that's
think
really
there's,
good.
There's things like that that I'm going to learn or pick up just in this whole pursuit of music.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, that's such an essential element, I think, of pursuing curiosity or fascination is, you know, not being worried about, well, will this end up with a degree, a certification? Will this end up with the answer? Will this end up looking good? You know, right. I think it's just you just walk in it in grace. You go after it because you're curious. You know, one of the things that Dan said, this is really good. He said, you know, following this curiosity or my desire opens up a moment of becoming alive in my heart. That's really good because as soon as I read that, I thought, you know, I often feel most alive when I'm pursuing something I'm curious about.
Yeah.
And it's a deep curiosity. It's at the level of a desire, that curiosity. And it just feels alive to do it, you know, free. That's really good. This Paul Flanagan said, and I'm repeating this for the recording as well as for Secret Garden, but he said, you know, I love getting to know someone and finding the patterns of the glory in their lives and then discovering fit in their occupations and maximizing contribution to focus and embrace their call. That's really good, Paul. And I'm telling you, there's a world in need of that. So yeah, I find that fun too. I really enjoy that. So let me give you another story for me recently. So most of you know the name Bob Allams. Bob, we had him on a campfire conversation actually several times. One was, I think, about the seminar he does on A Praying Life that impacted many of us, this book. And then the other was recently about the calling retreat that he went to and the effect it had on him. And he's just a marvelous guy. But he when I had met with him, see, that's everybody's reaction, at that smile, laugh, because he's just so fun to be with.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, so you can't help it. I know, he's that kind of a guy. But last time I was with him personally, he was out here visiting his daughter. A lot of people have their kids out here. And so he had told me about a book called Transitions. And this book is about 25 years old. And he talked about the impact it had on him and his wife and friends he's given it to. And he said, Gary, I think you would love this. I said, yeah, I think themes of it just go right along with what you talk about, what you write about. And I got the book, and I've loved it. It's a curiosity I couldn't have put, maybe I couldn't have articulated, but as I'm reading it, it's this whole idea of transitions we make in life, and not so much the physical ones, the geographic ones, the situational ones, but the internal transitions that have to take place with the external one. And it just hit me. I thought, you know, I just need to listen to people carefully. And when they talk about a book they read, they've enjoyed, a movie they saw, a conversation they had, to follow that curiosity that was stirred in me. I just think that's how our curiosity gets stirred, all different ways, but we just have to be alert to it, to our own heart, to go, okay, something was stirred. I think I'm going to go pursue that book or that movie or that, or another conversation like this.
And see, I think that's an excellent move to make by faith, because a lot of times you really don't know why you're moving in that direction, why you're pursuing that. And there may be even messages from the enemy that says you're wasting your time, you're pursuing something that's worldly, ungodly, it has no kingdom value. I mean, you know, what kingdom value is there to playing a bass guitar or to making a video?
Right.
I mean, it can be used that way, but in and of itself. And so, and yet, there is something there that God knows. It matches the contours of our heart, and that's what he's trying to get at. He's pushing us in a direction that he knows is going to unearth some things at a deeper level, and we just don't realize they're there.
Right. Right, and it usually takes someone else to call it out, but we have to pursue it. You know, Candace wrote here, she said, after years of studying French, the curiosity about trying to learn to speak the Haitian Creole kind of French persists. Now, see, I'm curious now about Candace because, you know, God is up to something in that. He just is. And I'm curious to know, what is that about? Is that a call to more interaction with Haiti? Is it, what is that? But Candace, I hope you continue to pursue it, because I want to know what that is. I'd love to know that. And Jack wrote up here, he said, I'm curious about the journey of life. I read about it. I ponder on it. I've even listened to a podcast by Alec Baldwin, because he interviews people and it ends up going through their life journey. Okay, that sounds great. In fact, Jack, would you do me a favor, or all of us, would you put it on the chat line where we can get some of those podcasts and listen to it? Because that got my curiosity going.
Me too. I've never seen Alec Baldwin in that kind of a role. I think it'd be fascinating to watch.
Right. So, okay, so as we get at the end of our time, so here's a case in point. This is what we need to do for each other. We need to talk about our curiosities and things that have struck us and what we're enjoying, because it's not self-centered in that we're just talking about what I like and what I'm doing, but the fact is, these things that have been mentioned already are stirring me, and they're giving me things I want to start looking at, reading, listening to. And who knows where that will lead in my life or my calling as we do this for each other. So let's keep sharing these things, whether it's a discussion on one of the forums or it's an email or however we want to do this. But let's keep doing this and then putting resources up, because we all know we may share some YouTube videos we've seen that we loved or podcast, and you know, there's a good chance that 80% of us who see it just go, I don't think I'm really going to take the time to watch it. You know, but the 20%, the 50%, whatever it is, we watch that thing and it stirs something and it sends us down a path. And you may not know the impact it will have on us. So we just need to share those things without the fear of, you know, so we live in the grace of, you know, many people may not, this may not touch them, but it may touch a few. And that's good. It's touched me, and that's good. So
yeah. And, you know, another thing, too, is when you see yourself being curious about it or just, you know, being moved to do something or to investigate something, that's an opportunity to take that to God and just say, what is it about that? Why is that driving my heart as opposed to anything else? And what is it that you have for me in this? And just kind of bring that and leave that in front of the Lord for a while and see what kind of things he opens up for you. Because I've done that in the past, and it's just amazing how he'll speak and he will show you things that you just didn't realize about yourself.
Right. Right. Well, okay. And so one more thought with this, that we could stop right there. That's perfect. But one more thought I had recently was I had talked to my Nick's girlfriend. I was out there. We had dinner together and some time together, all three of us. And she had attended a school in a church. It's like a year-long program. Very well known. They usually have 1,000 students at a time. And I was asking her, she went to this a couple of years ago, and I asked her, so how well are you able to apply what you've learned outside of that environment you were in? And she said, not very well. You know, she said, and there's a pretty big dropout rate. I mean, there's even some that you hear now years later have kind of walked away from their faith and you know, or think that was all, you know, made up or whatever. And I've heard the same thing with several ministries. And John, you and I know that being a Campus Crusade, a big ministry, it's easy to create a ministry and a lifestyle that only works in that particular bubble that you create, that particular environment that you create.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't so much taken by the numbers, but that kind of breaks my heart, but I know it's true in so many places. But it was the idea of this. It's very easy to kind of ignore the human side of our life. You know, one thing I heard from her about the environment she was in, she said everything was kind of hyper-spiritualized. And everything was about the big supernatural. And it wasn't just about, hey, are you just having fun? Do you have some good friendships? Well, what do you do for fun? You watch any good movies lately? Do you laugh? You know, it was none of that. It was everything was very spiritual. And any enjoyment had to come out of kind of hyper-spiritual activity. And again, I know that's easy for any of us to do, but just hearing that and hearing another pastor talk about this idea of take care of the human side of your life. We are human, by the way, you know. And I thought, yeah, and that's part of sometimes why we discount our curiosity and follow it, because we don't see a spiritual value or sense to it. And yet there is. And we just have to be able to do that, because I don't want to be one of those people that only knows how to kind of walk with God in a certain environment, but rather brings my walk to God in my environment. And part of that life is loving the things that I do. And for you, it's playing music. It's bass guitar, you know. For me, it might be, you know, shooting guns and videography. But I just need to follow those and say, well, it's good for my heart. And God, what are you saying through this? And I'm not going to demand an answer. And if I don't get one, I quit. But just stay in it. So, yeah.
I've been around people that you just described by, you know, just caring for the mundane things of their life, the human things. And there is, I'm just thinking of some in general, but there's a freshness about them instead of that person who's who's totally wrapped up in a very boxed in subculture. They just seem like they're more wide open, and I don't know, the word freshness comes to mind. I enjoy being around them because they just bring a different perspective.
Yeah. So everyone, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being with us around the campfire. And so I hope that if you have found yourself lacking curiosity, fascination, I hope you stir that again, because it's there. It's in all of us, but usually there's something that has subdued it. Again, it may be just feeling overwhelmed and tired in life. It may be devaluing. We've devalued our curiosity. But we need to stir it back up and live in our curiosity. And so one of the things we need to do is kind of write down what has stirred us lately and go, you know, I am curious about how that happens. And I've forgotten that I'm so fascinated by the subject. And then the other is just we need to share it with each other, with somebody. Because one, it will stir them. And number two, they will stir us in our curiosity. And, you know, I just think I think life is made to be partly navigated by our curiosity. So we need to keep it going. So John, thank you for doing this with me.
Yes, this was good.
And everyone, this was fun. And so everyone, we'll be back next week with you. And thanks for joining us again. And we will start putting, there are many, many campfire conversations that we've done that we actually don't have on the website, even beyond the ones that we've listed on the front page. So we're going to make sure we get that back up again for you, because there's some good material over the years that I know I need to hear and want to hear. So, all right, good night, everybody.
Good night.